book of Nehemiah is filled with some very interesting lessons that, of course, even though taking place several thousand years ago, are still very relevant for us today. Just a very quick background on this. Nehemiah is a cupbearer for the king of Syria. And he has a traveler come back from Judea, and he asks how things go there at Judea. And the report comes to him and says, well, the place is in a shamble. The wall around Jerusalem is broken down. The gates are off their hinges. It is just nothing more than a wreck. And that, of course, upsets Jeremiah because he is a very religious man. And not only that, he has a spiritual understanding where if you look at the book, that place had been intended for God's people to worship God. And so he asked permission from the king to go and to rebuild the walls and put the gates back in place and start that rebuilding process. And oh, by the way, king, would like for you to go ahead and foot the bill. And that is done, especially after everything has been researched, going back to the time of Cyrus, that would be the plan for Jerusalem. And that by the decree that God had given in choosing Cyrus as his servant to do so. And to no surprise, there are those that are in opposition. Those of the land that are in opposition to everything that the Jews are doing there. And a proposal is made by those in opposition, as we have stated here on the screen, come, let us meet in the plain of Ono. We'll see what takes place here in connection with this. We're going to make an application for us today. So the text there is in Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Now it happened, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there had been no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gates. That Sanballat Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together in the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servants to me as before the 5th time with an open letter. It is written, and in it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying there's a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I send him, saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. And so we have that account that's given to us. And I want us to look at some of the things that are mentioned in that letter and what was really present in Ono at the time. First of all, when the proposal was made, come and let's talk about these things. It was with the understanding by Nehemiah that they intended to do him harm. They were against everything that they were doing. They didn't want the Jews back in the area again. They did not want any prosperity for the Jews. They didn't want things to be different. They wanted things to be left in wreck and in ruin the way that it had been. And there was the understanding then by Nehemiah that what they sent to me in this letter is not a proposal for peace, but rather it is a setup to do me harm. And he understood that. And then there was also the lies that went with it. In verse 5, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in hand. And he wrote in this, and you have appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying there's a king in Judah or in Judea. And of course, the reply that was sent by Nehemiah was, you're fabricating that. There's no truth in it because there is no truth to it. In Ono, not only was there the danger that was recognized by Nehemiah, but also there were the lies. And not only the lies, but also the threats. Now, these matters will be reported to the king, so come therefore and let us consult together. And it is the use of these attributes of enemies that was recognized by Nehemiah in the letters that were being sent to him. He was not ignorant of the fact that all the surrounding area was against God's people and them doing the work that he had been sent to do. He understood that. So there was the danger, there were the lies, and there were also the threats. And he recognized them as such. We have a plane of Ono today as children of God. That same proposal, come let us meet together, is out there in the plane of Ono today. I'm using that in metaphorical sense and symbolic sense, that Ono, a place that is separate apart from everything there, where we can sit down and talk, where we can come then into fellowship. Come let us meet together. Fellowship with the enemy. And think about what Ezekiel says in the 33rd chapter, verses 31 and 32. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. And they hear your words. But they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. There have been three occasions in the history of this congregation, going back from 1980 and on, where there have been meetings that have been held in this building, and I'm not talking about gospel meetings, I'm talking about meetings among brethren. On two separate occasions, there were meetings that were held here by those that meet at the Highway 95 congregation. And they came in. And there was a discussion for a period of time where, and by the way, that was called for by us to see if we could sit down and look at God's Word. And it was not received well. As a matter of fact, there was accusations that came up during that meeting in which there was disparaging words that had been presented against individuals, rather than for the very purpose of which they're coming together. But there was still that call of fellowship that they, if you will just relent, if you'll relent from your stand on certain passages, if you will relent from your stand on what God has to say, and I'm not speaking verbatim of what they said, but that's the essence of what they were saying, then we can have fellowship. And it was really the same thing here that is being spoken of. They come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. And with the understanding that as we present God's Word, they hear our words, but it's not really ours, it's God's words. And they were calling us, whether they realized it or not, they were calling us to the plain of Ono in that situation. And then there was another group that met here also sometime later. As a matter of fact, it's been within the past 5 years, where we were very hopeful that we could come to some understanding in God's Word, but as it turned out, there was a Diotrephes in the group. And it wasn't going to be any way except his way, and his way was separate apart without consideration of God's Word. And what a shameful thing that is. But there was a call to them also. We can be in fellowship if you can put these things to the side. There's a call to Ono. Come let us meet in the plain of Ono. Things haven't changed over the years. Just as it happened thousands of years ago, it's still happening today. There's the call to come, fellowship with the enemy. Lies are presented. You are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. When we look in Matthew 3, verses 8 through 10, therefore, by their fruits, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's John the baptizer's words to the Jews. And their trust was in their physical lineage. And in the same way, in those meetings that we had, the trust was in the church where they met, rather than in God's Word and trust in what He has to say. We weren't fooled in the situation. But I'll tell you what we were greatly disappointed in all three of those meetings that took place. A great disappointment took place, with hopes that there might be an understanding from God's Word. There were the threats. Now, these matters will be reported of to the king. In other words, you're not going to prosper, you're not going to proceed. And some words were used to the effect by that first group that came down, you know, you're just a little church out here and people are not going to come here and they're not going to listen to the type of teaching that's being done here. And in some instances, that was true. And still is true. And so, again, they were calling us to that plain of Ono. Come, let us meet there where we can fellowship, where we can rule, where we can have it our way. And that's really the same thing that it was with Nehemiah those thousands of years ago. We think about this and where we are to meet and with whom. And understand that Christians are not elitists, but they also understand that they've been called out of darkness into light. Understand that Christians don't think that they have a special track necessarily by their own doctrine on the way to heaven, but they understand that there is a doctrine that comes from God that does put them on the track to heaven. They understand that. But where we are to meet and with whom? We meet with the Lord and brethren. And when we look in Job, the first chapter, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And that happens. That happens even today. To where the sons of God, and that's not speaking of angels. Remember, of course, in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 5, to which the angel said to you at any time, thou art my son. Never did. But children of God are sons. And it is a fact that we have a target on our back. And Satan wants, of course, to strike the blow against us. That is, we have a target on our back as long as we stand for the truth. If we don't stand for the truth, well, then we've gone to Ono and met with the enemy. But if we stand for the truth, we understand then that there is a target on our back and that Satan wants us. Satan wants us. Not to hear men, but God is where we must go. When we look over in Acts 10, chapter verse 33, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded by you. And that was stated by Cornelius. And that's where Christians are. We come to hear God's word, and we come together with those in like mind, in fellowship, to hear that. And we pray that those that are not in fellowship with God, nor in fellowship with us because of that, will come and hear the word of God. And then we'll relent from trying to call us to Ono. The Lord gives the increase. And even though there are those that will say, you'll never grow. And it very well may be that as long as we stand for the truth, there will not be one more of our, as far as physical number, not one more added in this congregation. That's possible. But we can say this, that as Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The increase spiritually is that which is important. I don't think we should be satisfied to say, well, we're just going to stay with the status quo of what we are as a small congregation. Shut everybody else out. We don't want to do that. As a matter of fact, I talked about evangelism this morning in the sermon. The fields are white and ready for harvest. And we must be involved. We give our all in doing that. But at the same time, if it means compromise of the truth, we don't do it. Because there are so many things that we could do right now that would add numbers, just actual numbers of this congregation, with no issue and no problem whatsoever. We could turn it around in a week. We could fill this building every time we open the doors. But it's not going to be unless God desires, and it's not going to be unless we follow God's will. We don't go to meet in Ono. When we look in Revelation 2, verses 9 through 11, I pray that this is us. This congregation that is mentioned here. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. And I pray that that's us. I pray, yes, we're small in number. We don't have a lot of resources, but really we are rich, and we're rich in Christ Jesus through His Word. And the instant that we leave that richness, that we leave that prosperity, we really are dead. We really are dead. What we need to do is remain in Zion. I'm not talking about the actual region over in the Middle East, but I'm talking about that which is spiritual as used in Scripture. And the reason being is that Ono ever calls to us. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament." In that passage, remember Jesus had talked about John the Baptizer. You considered him to have a devil because he dressed differently, he ate differently. "I came," he says, "I came and ate with you and looked like you," and so forth, "but still, you're not satisfied." And there will be those that will not be satisfied with the truth of God's Word and the presentation of that truth. But Ono ever calls, you dance to the tune that we play and everything will be okay. Nehemiah, you come, you agree with us. Of course, we're going to kill you if you do come. But you come and agree with us. And that was the proposal that was said. And things will be fine. And they won't be fine. Not if we abandon the Word of God. The unequal yoking. In Nehemiah the 13th chapter, verse 4 through 9, this is now a few years later. It was before this, Eliashib, the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of God, was allied with Tobiah. Tobiah, if you remember back in chapter 6, was one of the enemies. And now, one of the priests made an ally of Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offering, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of grain, the new wine, the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the offerings for the priest. You understand, Tobiah was a Gentile. And here you have this priest that set him up in the house of God, that brought in the enemy because of the alliance that he had. "But during all of this, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king, and I came to Jerusalem to discover the evil that Elisha had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the room. And I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offerings and frankincense." You see, we cannot capitulate to meet in Ono and allow those that will not hold to God's word to set up house among us. We can't do that. We are to be as friendly and to seek as much peace as possible, but not to the giving up of the truth and presentation of the truth. And there are those that are so willing to join in with us and to be in fellowship with us if we'll just give. If we'll just give in the presentation of the truth. Unequal yoking occurs. We see in Nehemiah 13, verse 28, "And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Elisha, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I drove him from me." It was those that were giving in to the enemies all throughout this, as you come down to the end of the record of the book of Nehemiah. And you remember that Sanballat was also one of those enemies that had written the letter and wanted to meet with Nehemiah in Ono. When we look in the 6th chapter, verse 17 and 18, "Then also all the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them, for many in Judah were pledged to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Barakai, and they reported his deeds before me and reported all my words. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. And all along the way, here you have this man of God that is standing for the truth and doing the work that God expected, and behind him were those that would not hold to the truth and were undermining everything that he was doing, and they were plotting then with those sinners. And that happens today. We're not elitist, but we're not to be ignorant either of the devices that Satan puts before us. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 14 through 18, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? I'll tell you, if there's not a distinction that is seen here at this place, and if there's not a distinction in the lives that we live as children of God, then we are in the world and we are part of Ono. We are part of Ono. And so the commandment comes and he says unto them, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Those men that met here were called to meet with us because of concern for their souls, for concern of what was taking place in this community. And again, except for that last meeting, it was back in the late 80s that those meetings took place. Because we saw the direction of where they are headed, or where they were headed. And I'll tell you, they've reached a destination point, but it's not the end. They have included women in the public worship in a mixed assembly. Understand, women can lead singing. They can pray. They can even bring lessons whenever it's not in a mixed assembly. But when it's in a mixed assembly, that is a provision that is not given by God. As a matter of fact, it is denied by God. And we saw the direction that they were heading, and there was a concern about that. And that was the purpose of the meeting, but they would not hear. They would not hear. We have been called out of Ono into Zion. And Zion used, as we see in the New Testament, talking about a region, physical region, but a spiritual region. We see over in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he's delivered out of the power of darkness to convey us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are to be separate and apart, not elitist. God counts us as righteous. God counts us as justified when we're doing his will. It's not a self-imposed condition or title. It's what God sees in us. Let us remain in Zion. The Hebrew writer says this, to a people that were thinking about leaving Christ Jesus, who had become Christians, but now were wanting to go back under a law that was dead, a law that had been nailed to the cross. And he tells them, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Realize what we are part of if we're children of God. We're part of that which has been created before the foundation of the world, that in that spiritual relationship that we have before God, that we stand right beside the God of heaven, Christ Jesus. We stand by him because of our relationship in him through the Word. Let us remain in Zion. Again, hopefully no one takes this from the standpoint that we shouldn't talk to those people. As a matter of fact, I made a suggestion to the one that's going to be sending out the announcement for our gospel meeting to send it to the congregations here in town. And that has always been done, just to let you know. Every time we had a gospel meeting, those invitations went out. And went out to all. And there's been some that have come. But it's been very few. But you know, if it would glean one soul, it would be well worth it, wouldn't it? But what we cannot do is that we cannot be ignorant of the devices that are used to separate us from God, call us to Ono, keep us out of Zion. We cannot be ignorant of that. Neither can we be cowardice to give in to the desires of men. Maybe those here this afternoon that are not members of Christ Jesus' body, there's a call to you. It's a call for you to come out of Ono. Again, using that symbolically, where there's danger, where there's lies. And that's out in the world, even in the religious world especially. The call is to come out, to become a child of God, be separate. Be separate from all that, and then be justified and sanctified through the Word. Jesus' prayer, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And that word says that one must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. And if you will not, well then you will be condemned. We call you out of Ono. The Lord calls you out of Ono. The Father calls you out of Ono and wants you in Zion with Him. Those of us that are Christians, don't stop. Don't stop reaching out to those that might hear the truth. Let me tell you just the experience that I've had over the past several years with congregations such as especially one here in town. They're not hearing the truth of the gospel. They're not hearing that. They're hearing pleasing words, soothing words. They're hearing smooth things as God spoke to Isaiah, in which they were saying by their actions, speak to us smooth things. And they're hearing that. They don't know what the gospel is anymore. But I tell you what, we can tell them. We can show them. But we won't do that if we don't reach out. Reach out. Don't be ignorant of the devices. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.